Glory.
Yes, amen.
Well, we had a very unbelievable good time.
Good.
And my fears were not realized.
Good.
And it worked completely opposite of those things, which I was really happy about. And you suppose prayer had anything to do with that? But anyway, and I'm teasing, of course. But I'll tell you about a couple of strange things that happened to me. And I'm not sure what morning, maybe last Sunday morning, I'm not sure. I had a dream, and I'm a dreamer of dreams, and Corky was sharing to me that he had a dream here not too long ago, and I thought, well, he's getting to that age. You know? Old men shall dream dreams, and yeah. But anyway, and in this dream, it was a strange dream. This is strange. I can't tell you anything more or anything about it, except that I was in this church, I believe, and we were probably, just about all of us, were praying for the sick. And people, you know, sick people were around us, and we were praying for them. And we were made to know that God was going to heal who God was going to heal. And that what we needed to do as we prayed for people is to watch them. And as we watched them, it was like the pool of Siloam. You know how the waters would be troubled? And their clothes would start to move. And we knew that this is the one that God was moving on, and we'd go lay hands on them, and God healed them. Nobody else. And we kept on praying. Pretty soon something else would move on him. We'd pray for him, and God would heal him. That was a dream. Well, not all of them are like that. I had just a real weird one here a couple nights ago. And I'll get off the dreams. I'll get into something else. But I was standing next to like a tile wall, you know, like one of the bathroom walls downstairs or something, a tiled wall. And I was just standing next to it, and the next thing I know, a head and two hands came out of the wall. I mean, demonic thing. And I was standing there, and the hands grabbed my hands and hung on to them. And it said, I've been trying to get you. And it scared me. I've been trying to get you. And I kind of shook. I couldn't get loose. I couldn't get loose from the hands. And I woke up. And I tell you what, it was a good thing to wake up and know that this wasn't real. But anyway, I thought, I've had some of these things really similar to what we experienced back in early 1982 before deliverance came. I had a lot of weird things like that. Just weird things. And I'm thinking, well, there's more to this whole picture, but I had a conversation with Brittany. See, what happened is that we left Coeur d'Alene. Every time I word it like that, I think of that song, you know, about North to Alaska. But anyway, we left Coeur d'Alene. Some of you aren't familiar with it. But on Tuesday morning, and you know what? There was not one motel room available in Montana or the first half of North Dakota. There's rodeos. There's oil wells coming up. There's all kinds of things. Everybody, all the rooms are filled. And so we traveled for a long time and spent the night in a Walmart parking lot. And yeah, and slept. We slept good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we had a really good time. I don't know why I started to say that.
You were saying something to Brittany.
Oh, Brittany. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, or 5:30, we started to drive, and she was driving, and we were both wide awake. And anyway, she started to talk. We started to talk about the things that we talk about. And I, you know, she'd been listening to the scriptures. Brittany has her weaknesses and whatever else, but there's a side of her that is really on the spiritual end. And she started to share some things that she understood from the scriptures. And I was dumbfounded. It was the most unbelievable conversation that we had. I thought, she's understanding. She's understanding. She's just starting to understand these things. And when God flips the switch, our weaknesses are going to be replaced by God's power. You know what I'm saying? And so it was a good thing. But also I had it with Shelley and Steve. And Steve is doing really, really good. And so it's a real blessing. And I began to realize some things. And then we went out to Old Country Buffet with Clayton and Rosemary and Rodney and Joanne and the other day for Beverly, because my sister Beverly is up, so we all got together. And anyway, I had a good time at Clayton. And anyway, I think, Ken, I think some of the comments and things, I think, registry? I think some of the things that I've been hesitant to say, and some of you guys haven't been. And I say, God bless you. And I'll tell you something. We haven't begun to understand what God wants us to know here. We haven't even begun to understand. And I have been, in the last few days especially, I have been walking in a place that is not the same, but it approaches what happened to me back in 1982 when I felt that for a month plus that I had not committed sin. You know, I felt such a relationship because it was a constant, nonstop presence of the Spirit. Did I commit sin? Probably, but I didn't feel like I had. You know what I'm saying? And what has been happening, and this reminds me, I was thinking about in the last couple of days about Ken's talking about our relationship with the Father. How it's become, something that we have known. See, what we've done is we have divided up the Godhead so that we don't recognize the... What's the word they use in Seattle?
Unfolding revelation.
No, there's another word for it. Remember, Ron Terry Myrick wanted us to install a pyramid structure. We don't understand that there is a pyramid structure. There's not equal ruling, whatever. God is in charge. God is number one. He was number one, he is number one, he always will be number one. And all other things are under him, including the Son. And this is where the devil has done everything he can to change this structure so that we have others equal to God. Now, is God offended? No. No, he's not offended by it. But we can be in a lot of trouble because of it. You know what I'm saying? And so, anyway, in the second chapter of Acts, and when you get a chance, you do this. In the second chapter of Acts, you read it carefully, and you see what the Bible has to say about this relationship between the Father and the Son and us. And Acts 2:2-2, that's an easy one to remember, isn't it? Acts 2:2-2. It tells us that, well, let me read it. I got it right here in front of me purposely. It says, men of Israel, hear these words. Okay? Listen to it. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God, of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. So here it says, who is he? I saw a big sign in somewhere in Minnesota. You know what? I should have wrote down the information on the sign. It says, and here's what the sign says. It says, who actually is Jesus? And then it gave the telephone number, and I didn't write it down. We were moving too fast, and I wasn't really up on it, but so I missed the thing. But so somebody says, who is Jesus? And I, you know what, as I read that sign, I thought, somebody's got it. I think whoever it is understands this thing. But anyway, in the second chapter of Acts, now we got to remember something about Acts 2. Jesus had said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. What we have is, the second chapter especially, is freshly filled with the Holy Spirit thing, where if anybody should be in the realm of truth, it should be these guys. So Peter stands up with the 11. It says, with the 11. And it sounds like Peter does the preaching, but it doesn't necessarily mean he did all of that preaching. This could have been a combination. We don't know. But as he stood up and he starts preaching to him, he said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, these things are going to happen. Did he know that before? Or was this just become evident or aware of it by the Holy Spirit? We don't know. But if anybody should have been in the truth realm, it should have been these guys on the day of Pentecost, having been freshly filled with the Spirit of truth. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so guess what second chapter of Acts does? It constantly paints the picture of the man, Christ Jesus. Constantly. And we have a little article, I put it on the board out here, anyway, I got one another one I want to show to Jeff and Carol. We're going to maybe see them this afternoon. And it talks about Dominic. And it's, anyway, that called Philmont or Bust or something. And and anyway, why did I say that? Don't get old.
Don't care for the alternative.
No, don't get old. You know what? I lost why. And it was important. It'll come back to me. But anyway, pardon?
Indomitable?
No, it was something else.
I'm going to see Carol and Jeff.
It's gone. It's just gone. But anyway, in the second chapter of Acts, it's getting close. I keep getting close to remembering what it was.
I think you were going to tell us about how the second chapter of Acts really highlights that Jesus is a man, and that the apostles, just being filled with the Holy Spirit, would have been in the best realm of truth from heaven. I think that's where you were going.
That's good. It's probably better than what I had. Yeah. But anyways, I don't know. but the truth of the matter is here. Oh, I know that's not what I was going to say. I know that something is happening to us. It's happening to Brittany. It's happening to you guys. It's happening to me. See, God told me something, or a voice told me something, and said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Is that a weird thing? Do you understand everything that was implied within that? Do you understand it? I didn't. You got to look for me where I am. I was made to know something. Okay, I'm getting back close to the track. I was made to know that if you want to find God, you look for him in what he said and not what man said that he said.
Yeah.
I was made to know that somehow. And I'm getting close. Getting close. There's a thing about me. That's what I started to say. And maybe Dominic has inherited a little bit of that in me, and of course his dad is like that too, but where it's like and obstacles are not really obstacles. Numbers of people are not really obstacles. But there is one thing about me that is maybe different. And that is, for my life, beginning back in when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, this here had been the truth. I haven't always understood what I'm telling you right now. It's always been the truth, and that maybe God honored that. I'm not sure. And what has happened is, I have let people interpret it for me, still thinking I got the truth, never realizing that this man-made interpretation of all of these things was dividing and subdividing and redividing and whatever else until we end up with things that are not who knows what they are. I want the truth. I believe that the Word of God is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is the truth. Is this the truth? We have to decide that. And so, there's a thing in me that, you know what indomitable means? It means unconquerable. And I thought, am I relating to that and saying, you know what? We have to have that spirit in us. We have to have that spirit that we won't let the devil defeat us. We won't let men drag us down. You know what it says in Philippians, the third chapter? It says, those that are the Christian, the right circumcised people is what it's talking about, are those who put no confidence in the flesh. And yet I have. And God has delivered me so that I'm not. It's like I don't want confidence in people. I want confidence in you. I want God to bring me to the place where I have confidence only in him. And when that happens, you know what? You might have to stand pretty much alone. Is that bad? Is that bad? I'm not seeing too many. Either way. You know what? That's good. If you can stand, just you and God, that's good. You'll find other people standing that are just them and God too. And in the end time, you're going to find a lot of people that are standing like that. But what we do is we want the companionship. We want the fellowship. We want the whatever else. And it's like, that's not who I am. And I saw some things happen that were marvelous. I started to say something. I'm going to say it and I'm going to sit down. I'll get back up. But I started to recognize an inner growing relationship between me and God that I have never known. I told Joanne about it. When I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a powerful relationship. When we were in deliverance, and Charlie has reminded me a number of times of what happened, but there was a relationship that was awesome. But you can't hang on to it. I couldn't hang on to it because I was missing this. I was missing the power that is in this. Because I was going, you know, the Bible talks about the Bereans. That's where I was going. That's where I was going. Okay. The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul preached to them was the truth. That's where I was headed at one time, long ago. And and anyway, the Bereans did not check their the books of their hour. They didn't check their commentaries. They didn't check their internets. They searched the word diligently, daily, to see if what Paul was saying lined up and added up. You know what the weakness is? You can't find anything else anywhere in this Bible other than where it says that Jesus Christ is a man. There's not anything else in there anywhere. Old Testament, New Testament. You have to do some fancy footwork to make him into anything else. And yet, we have made him into all kinds of things. And so I thought, I'll tell you what you do. Read the second chapter of Acts. Well, this is a freshly filled people with the Holy Spirit, and see what they say. Let me read you a few. Lest I mean it seem to be out of line here. Okay, beginning in verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. God approved of him by the signs and wonders and miracles and things that God did through him, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him, Christ, being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You don't do that to a God. Whom God has raised up, he didn't raise up a God, having loosed the pains of death. God don't have to worry about that, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, and I said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell. Amen. You're not going to leave your soul in hell. Neither shall you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. It has to be a man. Are you following what I'm saying? You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, anyway. In verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all our witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Who gave it? Did Jesus give the Holy Spirit? He received it of the Father. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes my footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. How did he become Lord and Christ? God made him that. God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God made him Lord and Christ. God made him Lord and Christ. So anyways, good to see my sister Beverly and my older brother Joel.
Well, if Keith feels like he's entering into an area without sin, I'm the opposite. Because that ain't where God's got me. But it's a good thing. Corky said he had talked to Keith the other day and about last Sunday's service, but he forgot to tell you that we had to repair this altar because it just blew apart. That's how good the service was with the three of us. Well, that's a lie. Well, I'm going to be on this thing for a while. About two Sundays ago when I heard the Lord say, a few good men needs a few good men. And then he put an amendment to it. A few weak men, good weak men. And I just read a scripture that says, in weakness you are made strong. Well, sometimes we don't know where our weaknesses are. But if we're faithful, God will show us. That's what he's doing. So, you know, and there's all kinds of things that happen in that, because for me, he needs to show me, and he is showing me these weaknesses. But you got to be careful, because the devil then wants to really use it against you. And I was kind of at that point till I got here this morning, and it kind of started at home. And you know, this Word of God and His truth, see, it's so easy to say, oh, we need His grace and mercy. And you know what? Till you've been in this Word for a long time listening, that's a pretty shallow statement.
Amen.
See, because you want to know that. But you know when you really want to know that? When you're feeling so miserable about who you are and maybe what you've done, that then you can still accept that? Because when you're in those places, I think a lot of you can relate to this. You feel so ashamed that you don't feel you can come to Him almost, you know? But because of this Word, I mean, I realize because I have some areas that are weak, it doesn't matter how many times, I still need to confess it to Him, ask for forgiveness, and let His grace and mercy cover me so that the enemy doesn't take me down the other road and make me worthless and give up. You know? And the other thing is, the more you see your weaknesses, which I have been on this road for quite a while, the less you want to point out others. And I really needed to learn that. I really needed to learn that. And I was sitting here today saying, I think I really relate to where Peter was before. But I don't even know if I'm that well along. I know you can think, and I've felt this, I felt like, Lord, I'm going to stand for you no matter what. But that can only be so deep also until you've been in this Word for a long time. Because He can put you in situations like He did Peter to show you that, no, you're not so big and tough yet, mister, you know. But it's a good thing if you can, and not let it condemn you, and not let your pride override it and ignore it, you know. So anyway, that's just some of where I'm going through. But you know, I was looking through Isaiah, and then I was in Hebrews, and it goes along with what Keith was saying. And then I just heard, and I'm not sure where it was, just these simple little verses, they just keep popping up all over. And it says, God who formed all things by His hands gave it over to His Son to command or be in charge of. That's not equal ruling Godhead. Just like Keith read just now, those verses. God, who formed all things with his hands, has given authority over to his Son to rule over those things. So, and then the other thing I realized was, you know, I was thinking about, I was going through Hebrews, and it points out some things that are kind of scary, but they're real subtle. And if you start seeing yourself there, you're way ahead, because it's so easy to just gloss over it. But in Hebrews 10, 37, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." And then this little next verse jumped up. "But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." You know what? We don't understand how easily we draw back. See, this not wanting to think that the word is that important, that's drawing back.
Yes, it is.
Wanting to think that the Godhead isn't important, that's drawing back. You know, it's like, no, that's just too much to address. Well, it's important. It's truth. Hebrews 11, 24. "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Do you know how hard that is to do? Do you know how easy it is to do the other? I mean, we're guilty. I'm guilty. I'll just speak for myself. Totally guilty. Thought I was, but I'm not there yet. I mean, in my heart I want it, but it's my, you know, and I tell you, when you said that dream about those hands reaching out, well, I kind of realize now, you know, some of it has definitely been my weaknesses. But also, I have an enemy who's wanting to put his hands on me, big time. And I didn't really realize that. I thought it was just kind of all me, you know, just being weak. But it isn't. And all of you, I'm sure, are experiencing some of the same things. Because that's what happens when you start to really make a commitment. And you know, it's a good sign. Because it means you've gotten into his area that you can put him down. Right. See, if you weren't there, he don't care what you do. Mm-hmm. If he's already kind of got you walking down the wrong path already or deceived enough, that he don't care. But the minute you started turning around, it gets his attention. Because that he knows, oh, these can hurt me. You know? So, and then I had chapter 11, 34 in Hebrews. Yeah, and that was the part about it. It's talking about those who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. See, that's what he's trying to bring home to me these days, you know. And then there was a couple, well, yeah, I got reminded in speaking of some of that drawing back and whatever. I just had gotten this thought, and it says, "Do you want to worship and praise God like you used to?" Isn't that trying to keep David warm?
Yeah.
trying to revise something that God says is dying and its time is past? I mean, I'm guilty of that too. That's what you relate to when you don't have something right now that you think you'd like to have. See, and the thing is, God's saying, yeah, you'd like to have it because it's familiar. But I'm waiting. I want you to have patience and long-suffering to receive what I'm bringing new.
Lord, yes.
And that's hard to wait on. Man, that's hard. You know, it's like you see, and I, you know, other people are going and they're having fellowship together and they're worshiping God and praising God, and it's not wrong to want that. But you know what I'm looking forward to? I really believe that the day is coming that He will show us how to do it in truth and spirit. And I want to see what that is. That has got to be something so awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's never really been done, I don't think. You know, and some of this stuff in the last days, it's not always going to be written out in here, I don't think. I mean, in a sense. I mean, I want to be careful about that because you don't want to get off just making up stuff. And I mean, in the fact that clearness and fullness and just brightness of it has never been maybe. Or it was touched on. I mean, if it's for the last days, it's going to really get to mean something. You know, and it's going to really show something that's probably never been done before. I mean, all the moves of God that you saw, weren't they always something really that advanced a little bit?
Yeah.
The kingdom of God? And then, you know, then it leveled out and then people went back to, you know, being people. You know, us guilty. So, these things that are coming, it's going to be awesome. And but boy, it's hard to, you know, it's, I thought, and this is interesting because you brought up the thing about standing and whatnot. You know, can you stand on your own? Man, I just was there. And you know, for a while it looked like I was doing that to myself. And just lately, I've been realizing, and it can be a good or a bad thing, because you still got to come to the place that you can stand on your own. But you know, a partner, a mate, can sure help you keep stability. But you still got to be able to stand on your own. And I found that, it's good because you can go in degrees with that. And I went to a certain point, and now God says, yeah, but now you got to die some more because you're not really there yet. You know? I mean, it's sometimes, and maybe He'll give you the chance. Grace and mercy, He puts you in places that shows you that you aren't ready to stand yet alone. But He's going to get you there. He's going to get me there. That's why I'm going through this. That's why you may be going through what you're going through. And then you have good times that cement that. See, you know, I mean, it isn't just getting shown the low and where you're at, because He does the other also. Then He'll give you times of just refreshing that tie all that together and advance you a little farther in your path, in your walk. So, you know, hang on, be patient. And I know I kind of went all around the map here, but I think you got a vein of things that, you know, it's not an easy road. Suffer affliction. Well, some of that affliction is in your own soul, you know, being dealt with. And God, also in all that I was reading, says if He loves you, He's your Father, He's going to chastise you for your own good. And that's kind of what's happening a little, and that's good. I think. I mean, you know, it doesn't look good in my human eyes and my flesh. Man, you don't realize sometimes how strong that flesh is. But fortunately, I think the spirit is stronger because I'm not gone, still here. So, and I don't just mean here, but you know, so God bless.
I want to clear up something. I'm not saying by any means that I'm without sin. I don't mean that. Or that I'm in that place. But maybe a better way of saying it, you know, Paul gave us that resume in the sixth chapter of Romans. And you look at it and it's scary because he's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's the one that gave us all of this insight in, you know, about 11 of the books of the epistles. And so he says, the good that I would, I do not. The good things I want to do, I don't do them. I do the bad things I don't want to do. But you know what? And this verse here has been with me for a long time, but it only lately it's been affecting me. It's Romans 8:1. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. And I think the thing that is being taken away is the condemnation. I've had my share. I have. I've had my share of condemnation. And there's no condemnation to them that walk in, you know, that do not walk in the flesh but walk after the Spirit. You know, I'm not sure how I'm wording it right here. But and so anyway, if we can get past the condemnation stage, it changes something. And the point that I wanted to make, which is vital, is there's a different relationship developing between God and me. There's a different relationship. And this can sound strange, it can sound weird, and it can sound like I'm boasting of something, which I'm not. I don't mean to be. God is the one that does whatever God does. But for whatever reason, it is a different relationship changing, and what it's doing to me is causing me to experience by faith, I don't know how else to say it, a time ahead of us, not too far ahead of us, where we are going to see the impossible and the unbelievable and the awesome. I can feel it, I can taste it, I can see it. It has been in a measure for a long time. It's stronger and stronger and stronger. God is not going to leave without a witness. He's not going to end this thing. If what we see in the scriptures, if we're seeing any of it accurately, and you know, like in Joel chapter 2 or some of these different ones, God is going to do a phenomenal thing. I'm not going to do it. And you're not going to do it. God's going to do it.
Hey, that was not a correction.
No, I know.
Because that's where I
want to
get, and somebody's
got to
get there.
So, no, I know. I didn't mean it.
Glorious you are.
Well, I shared some of this with Keith last night, but for this view, I think this will tie in kind of well. I had a dream the other day, and those of you who know me, I don't have dreams. Very few, and any that have any kind of religious God connotations, I have even fewer of those because I'm just stiff-necked, I guess, and the Lord's working on me. But I had a dream, and I was having a conversation with an individual in my life, and this individual is causing me strife and stress. And we were having a conversation, and he made me so angry that I cursed him. And then, you know, that stopped, and then a second later, I was having another conversation with this individual, and he again said something so much that angered me so much that I cursed him. And then the second time that happened, he kind of vaporized, went away, kind of like I wasn't talking to a man, but I was talking to the enemy. And the point there to try and draw the line is I was being suckered in or trapped by the enemy because my flesh just wasn't willing to not be offended. And by golly, you know, I'm not going to lay down on that stuff. Because I'm weak. God needs to do something with me. Because it's too easy to give in to that. So there's a tie in there, and this just happened this past week. But I think it's important, and I wanted to get up and take some of the time here to say that God is showing us that we're in a battle all the time, and the enemy is slippery. And but Keith just touched on it, and I think it is the change that is occurring in us by being in the Word is that at least we want to get to the point where, you know, if we used to sin, the enemy would get us and just get us condemned to the point that we wouldn't feel even worthy to ask for God's forgiveness, yet we know that is totally non-scriptural. We are to exactly seek Him through all our trials. Some of those trials which He allows us to have because He is burning off the dross, making the steel strong, taking us from weak and making us strong. But there's a real thing that Brother Ken's on that we need to just hold dear, which is you can't be made strong until you admit you're weak. And if you can't humble yourself to say that I'm not there yet, how is God going to do anything in you? Because you're not letting Him. And really, what that's a fancy way of saying is, it's not His will right now, it's my will. And my will says I'm okay. And boy, you really don't want that to be your final conversation in the day of judgment. Yep, I had it. I don't know where you were, but I was waiting for you to catch up with me. Don't want to go there. And if you can humble yourself and say, I am needing you. Now, we wrap this around and we go, we have more truth. There's got to be something that happens of that. And there is. I don't know how tangible it is. I want to be someplace. There are people who are getting together under the guise that they're worshiping and God is there. And I am not saying that God is not there. I'm not saying the Spirit isn't flowing. But I'd like to be someplace where I hear a voice say, in so-and-so I'm well pleased. I want to be somewhere where the fullness of God is able to be imparted on someone, because that person's heart and that person's walk is so right with God that God is pleased with them. I'm not saying it'd be nice if it was me. I know I'm not that person yet. But if I humble myself and I make myself and I admit to myself and to my Maker that I need Him, and not, as correctly pointed out today, not this catch-all, I'm not good, but Your grace and mercy, you shed blood for me, I'm good. I'm in. I don't have to work at this. No. No. We have to work. And in fact, and the frustrating thing about the Word is the more you know, the more you have to work, because the more you know, the more you're accountable for. And you can't hand-wave it. So the bad thing about, if you want to know where I am, seek me where I am, it means I have to worry about my fear and trembling. Fear, my salvation through fear and trembling. I have to work it out. Now, I praise God that He's got grace and mercy. And then lastly, today you might have noticed a theme. I don't always do this, but occasionally I feel that today I was led a little bit to be playing songs that talked about God. God reigns. God's the one that does this. God is awesome. We can't, you cannot forget, minimize, ignore the Son. And a testimony in all of this is yesterday, my mother, non-practicing Catholic, says, I want to have a conversation with you about God. Now, these are pretty momentous moments, right? Go, I kind of like stop, and I go, this, you know, okay, Lord, you know, if you're going to put something, make an opportunity, I'm, all right, so kind of like I put everything away, and, you know, I'm 100% zeroing in on this. And she goes, I know I'm not going to change your opinion on this, but how can you say Jesus is not God? Not a God. And I go, well, how can you say a God can die? Well, he didn't really die because God raised him up again. Well, was he dead for a while? Yeah, but not really. That was just a little spot over here. I said, oh, okay. So I said, well, and then I said, so we had another conversation, another, you know, well, but Jesus has to be God because of all these miracles he did. Was Moses a God? Well, no, because Moses didn't do those things. God did. Okay. Well, how is it different? Well, it just is. Moses is a man. I go, oh. Okay. So, you know, and we kind of had to get past the Virgin Mary. We had to talk about, you know, the overshadowing. We had to talk about the begotten Son. You know, real growth as a Christian, and I think we you know, I don't like to bring up the past, but in, for an illustration, we have to be very careful of not saying we've got a truth and bludgeoning those around us who don't have that truth. We have to be careful. We don't have to compromise. We don't have to agree. But, you know, God doesn't have them or he has me. And it's not because I'm good. So, like the Trinity, and I don't believe in the Trinity, and like I believe we have the more deeper truth that Jesus is a man, I am not going to bludgeon someone who the Lord is catching up a little longer. Because that's not my job here on earth. That's God's job. I'm just to be his tool. When his spirit moves on me, then here's an opportunity to share this truth. Let God change their heart and be open to it. That's really hard, because what that means is we end up being not part of the greater body. And we don't get to do some of the fun stuff. And, you know, we don't do it because we struggle, because we don't want to be conflicted and say, I'm not going to go do the fun stuff because I know it's really wrong and it's based on bad principles and I know better because I've got some truth. Well, what's the fun in that? Oh, flesh, yeah. Yeah, I need to be weak. And it's hard. It is hard. But I am in a good place. Because I know I'm a letting him, I'm inviting him, I am begging him, please, please change my heart. Please make me open to have what you have for me. Please allow me to let your will be done through me. That's what I need from you. And please, show me when I'm not doing that. Because I'm not there yet. And if I can remain humble and open to the fact that I am not there yet, he is not done working in me. And that's what we need. So, I don't know if any of that helped, but I feel really good about the fact that I can see the enemy's deception and condemnation. And it's powerful. And I could see the enemy's deception in the Trinity, or pick a... I mean, there's a whole bunch of things out there. And, you know, the apostles didn't walk around beating people over the head. They just went to a place, and then they spoke in the synagogue, and they shared what God had given them, because that's where they were. They didn't go out in the highways and byways to find these people and try and correct them. The people obviously came to the synagogue, meaning their hearts were open to receive what God was going to share that day. And the hardest thing for us, because of the way we've been brought up as Christians, I think, is to be patient and wait for God to create the opportunity, and instead of us saying, you know, I am really walking because I'm finding that opportunity, and I'm going to lead a charge. You can't lead. He leads, we follow, and our flesh needs to die. And there's the problem. My flesh doesn't die very easy. I'm stiff-necked. But I can. My testimony today is I can tell you I'm different today than I was before. God is working in me, and it's only because I stand up and say, I need you to get me where I need to be. And the only thing I can really do to help that, search His Word, be open to change from Him, and wait on Him.
Amen.
Get out of His way.
Very good.
He has a lot to do yet. I'm not where I need to be, but I feel the joy of the Lord in my heart.
That was really good.
Yes.
And so I really don't need to say anything because he just really said a lot. But I just wanted to add that I understand what Keith is saying when he says he's in that place. I understand it because I have been there. I'm not there right now. I'm more like where Ken is right now, you know. But I mean, I understand being in that place, and it is the relationship. That's what it is. It's this thing that goes on between you and the Father, and you're just in this place, that, you know. But maybe what at the end of the ages, when we're with Father forever, then that will continue. But in the meantime, I've got these things that the Father is faithful to bring up and show because, you know, He can't fellowship with sin. He can't fellowship with sin. So, bring it up, cause us to look at it, cause us to deal with it. And yes, grace, we couldn't do any of it without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you can't just go, well, yeah, then so I don't have to do anything. That would be like the Catholic Church, and you go to confession and tell somebody, and then I'm good. I can go out and sin again. No, He needs to do this work in your heart, and you need to allow Him to do it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for being pointed towards the Word of God and having that be the be-all, end-all standard, you know. Mm-hmm. And I better not, and nobody here better not, take something that's said from this pulpit and just accept it. Just don't do that. You've never been told to do that. You've been told you need to search it out and make it your own. You know, you need, like those of Berea, they were more noble, to seek it out. So you can't just, Keith said this is this, so okay, Ken said this is this, Corky said this. No, you have to go home and you have to search the scriptures. You have to make it true in your own self. You have to. We have to. Ken did a little talk about the end of times and everything, you know. I mean, we all know it's getting closer. It's getting closer. Of course it's getting closer. It's closer than it was 50 years ago. You know, I mean, every day it's closer. I mean, but yet we look around and we know it's closer. Hey, you better know your Father. You better know this Word. You better be able to hear His voice, because there's going to be all kinds, there are all kinds, and there will continue and probably be more, the Bible says so, antichrists that are going to seek to deceive you. You need to know God. You need to know Him. I mean, and that's not a scare thing. That's a lovely thing. You get in that place where you're, like Keith is in, where he just is relationshiping with him. He's not, he will recognize the enemy if the enemy is speaking. That's where we need to be. And if sin is stopping you from that, then seek God. Show me what's keeping me. Do I have something? Have him shine his light on it. And he's faithful to bring it up. And so, anyway, I just say, if you've been in a place where you're just like, yeah, well, not really, blah, 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 blah. Well, hey, maybe you need to go to prayer and go, Lord, why am I not? Because maybe he'll show you something. I don't know if he will, but maybe he will. And maybe then you can deal with it. Which is, first of all, confess to him and do whatever it is he shows you to do and accept the blood covering. He's been faithful to do that in me over and over again. There's been times when I've had to stand in the pulpit and confess a sin. And there have been times when I've just had to go to someone and confess and ask forgiveness because it was holding me back from what the Father wanted to do in me. So I'm just encouraging you. He is such a good and loving God. He wants you. He wants you. So when he's trying to deal with you, don't step back. Like Ken said, don't take a step back. Go, okay, what? Show me. Because it may be a hard thing to go through, but you know him. You've known him. It's always so wonderful on the other side of that thing. And he's so worth it. So I guess I'm just encouraging you all to really, really seek God.
A few of us are in a different place, sounds like. I feel like I'm in a different place to advance, if that's a word, the right word or not. Truth is, you thinking just like I do, isn't it? No, it's not. The word, you know, is food, is bread, but I want to talk about the word as if it was water right now. And Jesus says it's water in different scriptures, like water, or coming, going in, going out. And Jesus says in the last days, you will drink poison water and it won't harm you. And he's talking about liquid, touchable liquid. But the word, the water of the word, we have this word here, And we pick at it. We start treating it like letter, and we do these things. And people tell us about all these things about the word. Are they true? Aren't they true? And but when it was water, if you just drink the water, if I drink this water, and if it has a gnat. That was an ad right there. You know, you don't know, and you just drink it. You just drink it, and for example, Jesus, there's this, I don't know why this is the first of the signs that Jesus did, I don't know, but there's these three pots of water. And supposedly there was good water, but they could have bad things in it, something fell on it, whatever. And that's the word, and we treat the word. We have all these versions and translations of the word, or you know, are they in the manuscripts and whatever? And when we do that, we're not drinking water anymore. What we need to do is drink water and just drink it, and then Jesus, out of any pot, and Jesus will make that word into wine after you've drank it. And we cannot, and later he will make it into wine. Jesus says, I have things to say to you, but I'm not right now. I'm going to take what is mine and reveal him to you. Just like Ken was saying, in the future we're going to have all these things, different things. But it's out of the Word still. It's going to be revealed later. That's why and that's what I try to do. I just try to take the Word and just drink it. I do not worry what any man tells me. This scripture, that scripture, I'm not sure. This means that. That means that. Just take it in. And Jesus will do whatever he's going to do with the water that you took in. He's going to make it into the best wine ever, no matter what water it is. And we just take this water. And anyways, and then after we drink that water, we'll know the truth. But the truth that we know is not this, like, oh, now I know exactly what everything means. It's not like that with the truth that you know. Because this is why I feel a little bit different. It's because God gave me this thing. And we all know this. But all of a sudden in the scriptures, it's like truth. Truth is not just this thing. Truth is a spirit. It's a place where you are. That is truth. What is truth, says Pilate? Well, Jesus would have answered. Pilate would have been in the same place. You know, truth is a spirit. And when I realized that truth was a spirit, all of a sudden, the scriptures I was looking at the scriptures with a different glass. Not a better glass, just different. You know these things you look at, and you turn them, all of a sudden it's a different picture for kids. It's a different thing. All of a sudden, when I came to the understanding that truth is a spirit, it's like I have never listen to the Bible in my life ever. It's like a different picture. I don't want to say it's weird, but it's refreshing, because I'm not sick of it. I wasn't sick of it, but all of a sudden, wow, this is possible. The same book, all of a sudden is different. And I think that's what's happening. That's what I'm hearing from everybody, is that this different place. Also, Jesus says, whatever you hear in secret, preach in the rooftops. And don't be... one other thing that God put in me was like, don't be afraid of sharing what we hear from him. Because we cannot fear man. And for example... the Pharisees asked Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And Jesus says, well, let me ask you something first. John the Baptist, is he from heaven or from man? And the Pharisees were reasoning, like, well, if we say this, we fear man, but if we say if he's from heaven, then he'll say, why didn't we believe? So Jesus says, well, and then they said, I don't know. And Jesus said, neither will I tell you, will tell you by what authority I do these things. So Jesus will say nothing to us if we do not give what we've been given. And no matter, I don't want to make a rule, but it's good for us to receive. From Jesus, we need to give what we've been given from Jesus without fearing man, what they'll think. And that's what Jesus is saying in the scripture about John the Baptist. And we don't have to purposely try to offend anyone. That's not the point. But since truth is a spirit, just treat it as spirit. And if we hear something... And if it's needed to come out, let's just not fear. And if we don't fear, we'll get more.
I got to hear all that last week. I'm glad you brought it today, Pa. I was hoping you would. Well, we were sitting on the job and
And I was just sitting there, and there was these guys working, and I thought, you know, what if they came over and they realized maybe we were listening to Scripture, and they asked, like, what are you doing? And I had this little scenario. It was like the Lord put it in my mind. It was like, well, we're listening to the words of God. And the statement would be like, what are you, out of your mind? And I started thinking about that. And then I thought, when do you get the right mind? You don't really get the right mind till you're born again. And then you don't get the whole mind yet. You get the beginning of the right mind. And it was just, I sat and thought about that. See, because that mind before then is all earthly, it's all carnality. You know what I mean? And so you're limited, really. I mean, as far as God, what things of God. So then, how does that right mind get formed? Exactly what Pablo just said. That's how it gets formed. A righteous mind. You know? Because it says the mind of the Spirit. You need to have the mind of the Spirit. Well, you don't get that till you start the process of being born again. And then it's a process. And so, you know, I mean, we got to be careful because we point out that you don't want to have the mind of man. But that doesn't mean that you have no mind. You know, it means let it be changed to the mind of the Spirit, which is the right mind, you know. And that got me so excited, you know, because, and the thing is, and it lets you know, I mean, it was just so obvious that it doesn't happen all at once. And you're not just, you got the ticket, you're home free thing. You know, which so many think is the case, and it's not. I'll tell you what. Because of those weaknesses that have been coming up, I have a fear of God. I have a fear. Yes, the fear is it doesn't keep me necessarily procrastinating as long anymore. Because I want to set it right with Him. You know? And that, you know what? When He becomes your real Father, you want to please Him. You want to respond to even His chastisement. Don't you love if you look back in the past when you knew it was hard and you had to chastise your children and then you saw the good that came from it? I just heard somebody relate to that, you know. A guy was talking about his daughter, and he was pretty tough on her, you know, kind of. And he said, because, you know, I mean, and I relate. Guys like us, he said, you know, I was kind of the disciplinarian in the relationship. And he said, I went to apologize her, and she said, Dad, don't apologize. That made me much better a person. You know, now, of course, you have to do it in the right manner, you know. But, you know, and that's lost a lot today, you know. Oh, you can't be that strong. You got to let them learn on that. No. Look at how we get when we let ourselves learn on ourselves, you know. Jeez, we get messed up, you know. So, it's that. I mean, I think that is one of the things that I just have been cherishing. I, as awesome as this God is, totally awesome, can't understand Him, I also know He's just right there. I can talk to Him just like if I had my own father. I probably talk to this awesome one easier than I ever would to my real father. I mean, I never got a chance to do much of that, but you know what I mean? And that's what you need to know. That's where He wants to be. And you can tell Him anything. Like Keith said, He's not going to be offended. And you know that thing about, it's really come home too, Pablo and I were talking. You know where Jesus says, you can blaspheme the Son of Man, but if you blaspheme the Spirit, That's the unpardonable sin. You know what that says? That shows the humanity of Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
Because he was saying, you can say whatever you want to say to me, because I'm a man, but you better not talk against that spirit that is in me, which is from above. And that, see, that's in any one of us, you know? And that's true. Yeah, people can say whatever they want to say about me. But if the Spirit is saying out of my mouth, you better not go against that. It has nothing to do with me, you know? But if that Spirit's coming forth, don't reject it. I mean, but that's up to the individual, you know? And when you start realizing that, it's going to make you humble. Very humble. And that's a good thing, you know? And obviously, you know, it's like Pablo saying, you know, God will bring into the synagogue those that want to hear. But you know what? At the same time, they'll also be the ones in the synagogue that don't want to hear. You know, and it's so true. It's that simple thing that Jesus said. I come to heal the sick. And you know what? A huge percentage of the church out there today thinks they're not sick. They think they're perfectly well. And where does that put us if we're in that place? It puts you with those that Jesus was addressing. Well, go on your way then, because you're well. You know, and guess where on the way goes? Damnation, you know. So know that there's always going to be a mixture. But just keep thinking about the ones that God knows are His, that He's putting it on their heart to come to Him. You just want to be looking for those, speaking to those, whether you can see them with your eye or not, you know, because the Spirit's at work. And it's so true. That, what Pablo said, it changed my whole outlook too, when I started realizing that the Spirit of truth is a spirit. Has nothing to do with how this is written in, you have to understand, by what translation. It doesn't matter. Because whatever's wrong in there, the Spirit is not going to confirm it if it's the Spirit of truth. And it's not truth. He will confirm what is truth in you if you're listening with an open heart as a little child.
Something occurred to me that I wanted to share, and I hope it's an encouragement. You know, back in the day, we used to have an expression that really rocked my salvation here when we were kind of passing off bad behavior, which is, you know, you can't argue with someone who's had an experience. Don't try and argue truth or knowledge with someone who has an experience. Okay. But I have an experience now with the Word of God. And the difference is that I have the foundation of the Word. If you don't have the foundation and you have an experience, you can rest or take root in a deception and not get out of that.
That's good.
If you have the cornerstone,
yes,
of the Word, and you have the experience,
yes,
from the Word, you can't be shaken from that. To what Pablo said, you're not afraid to share, knowing what you know, because you're standing on the Word, because you have a truth, and you are standing on the Word of God as it's been revealed to you. That's different than standing on an experience because it feels good, or you think it's right, or you got deceived by the enemy. And the reason you can avoid being deceived is because you're standing on truth. And so, my testimony here is that I am not afraid to talk about God, talk about His Word, because I'm standing on truth that He's revealed to me, that I had to go out and seek and find, and He honored that. It's a great concept. That's a great revelation. You can't buy truth. You can't sell truth. Because it's not a physical thing. It is a spirit. which is makes Jesus' response to Pilate, so, you know, what is truth? Or Pilate's response, excuse me, what is truth? And you go, yeah. You know, and that's why we use truth and faith so interchangeably, you know. But I have an experience in God that is based upon the Word. And you can't shake me from that experience. And that's different than what experiences may have happened in the past, because they were not on the foundation of God, on the basis of His Word. And that little thing is, that's the difference between being in glory and being I know you're not.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's a couple of comments. We have had some phenomenal exhortations, testimonies, and whatever this morning has been excellent. And I love it. I really appreciate it, because what it does, it gives all of us an insight as to where we're at. If you're looking, you know, the kingdom comes with an observation, but not really. Because the spiritual man discerns all things. It comes without observation to the unspiritual. But if a spiritual person, it doesn't really, it's not something he doesn't see. Because by the Spirit, you begin to understand. That's what it tells us. I'm quoting Scripture. And one of the things, major things, I'm not going to belabor this, but one of the major things that we are told that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Which makes this Word God's Word. And the Bible says that God spoke to the fathers, the Jewish fathers, by the prophets. In these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. And of course His Son's apostles and disciples and prophets. And so, anyway, the first commandment, which has remained unchangeable. And they asked Jesus, the Pharisees asked Him, they said, what is the great commandment? Well, it was in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's unchanged. It says, you shall, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your body, your, whatever you are. You shall. It's a commandment. And so here we are, we have the Word that was with God and was God and still is God. And Jesus said, or we're told by Peter, that by these precious promises, the Word of God, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Okay, so here's the point. If you're going to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, what about His Word? Where does that fall? Is that in the, also in the with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, whatever else also? And for whatever reason, which I can't explain, unless I give this, I think I'm kind of giving a wrong picture here. I'm not in some great position, you know. I'm not there. But all I'm talking about is a phenomenal change that has taken place in me. It's getting closer and closer and closer and closer until you're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. It's that kind of a thing. And but the thing that has happened to me, and this is the truth, and my wife will attest to it, I have fallen in love with this. And you know what? That does not mean that I understand it. All it means is I understand more and more and more and more as the Spirit keeps revealing it. I'm falling in love with the Word of God. So much so that I really have no interest in reading anything else or listening to anything else. Other than Wheel of Fortune. Which I can let that go too. And I said that, you know, maybe foolishly, but I, you know, it's like I, anyway, why don't we come up to the front and
that's all.
Yeah, you have to watch it, because if Charlie saves it up for too long, it gets kind of powerful. No.